Hunter, they probably cut a verse. They were just so anxious for me to get up here and preach. It's so good to see all of you here today. What a wonderful opportunity for us to gather together to worship God, especially on an occasion like this. And we're thankful to have many friends and family members who happen to be visiting others in attendance and visiting. So we just want you to know how wonderful it is for us to be able to see you. And we look forward to getting to greet you after our services have concluded as well. Thankful for your presence. Thank you so much, Steve, for reminding us about how the Pharisees rejected the purposes of God by not being baptized by the baptism of John, as he was discussing that today from the table. And here in Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 42, the Pharisees and the scribes are at it again. It says, "Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' Jesus answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, and no sign will be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth.'" He also goes on to tell them, you think about the men of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh. These people of Nineveh, they're going to rise up at the judgment with this generation, and they're going to condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and a greater than Jonah is here. And he also goes on to say the queen of the south is going to rise up with this generation at the judgment and condemn it, because she traveled the ends of the earth to come hear the wisdom of Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. I want us to think about this passage of Scripture today, and I want us to think about the sign of Jonah. You see, the experts of the law have a question for Jesus, and they want to see a sign. They said, "We wish to see a sign from you." And Jesus' response to them is neither gentle nor is it accommodating. He calls them an evil and adulterous generation because they were seeking a sign from him. You think about that statement. You think about this idea of the sign of Jonah that Jesus said they are going to get eventually. "I'm not going to show you any signs, but you are going to get to see the sign of Jonah." And I think that that statement by Jesus in this passage of Scripture teaches us so much, and I want to share three lessons that I believe you can learn from that statement today. The first lesson I believe that we can learn is this: the Bible is not a book of myths. It's not a book of myths. Here on this occasion, Jesus verified that Jonah was a historical character. The preaching of Nineveh, or to Nineveh, actually happened. The amazing fish story was real. It was not a myth, as many people would like to believe. There's a lot of folks that want to walk around here, and they want to look at some of the stories of Scripture, especially some of our favorite stories from the Old Testament, and they want to say, "You know what, that just could not have happened. That is just a myth. You've mythologized the Bible," just like many other people throughout the course of history have mythologized some of their heroes. But this actually happened. People have attempted to mythologize the Bible. But Peter even addressed this in 2 Peter 1, verse 16, when he says, "We have not followed cleverly devised myths." Did you get that? Peter said, "We beheld His majesty. We know who Jesus Christ is, and this is not a myth." Now, if the apostles were following Jesus, and if they were listening to Him, if they had been eyewitnesses to His majesty, they were also witnesses to the stories that He told. They were witnesses to the teaching that He did. And Jesus taught about the story of Jonah. And so here, Peter is saying, we're not following cleverly devised myths. When we think about Jesus and the life that He lived, we're not mythologizing this man. We're telling you the truth. We're telling you who He is. And we're telling you that His teaching was true as well. A lot of people want to claim that the Bible is a book of myths. But on this occasion, Jesus tells us that the story of Jonah is true. The story of Jonah is true. Jesus was a historical figure. Jesus lived. There's proof of that. Jesus is the Son of God. We have evidence of that through the Word, through the eyewitness accounts of those who were with Him, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Scriptures. He was a historical character, and He talked about Jonah and verified the accuracy of the story that so many people do not want to believe. So here, as Jesus is talking here to these scribes and these Pharisees, he's sending a message out for the rest of the world, for all of us, to remember that the Bible is not a book of myths. It is a book that needs to be obeyed, it needs to be listened to, and it needs to be followed. Second thing that I want us to understand in the statement that Jesus made here, that they would receive that sign of Jonah, is this: the Word of God should be sufficient proof for belief. The Word of God should be sufficient proof for belief. You know, we talked about how that Jesus' response when they asked for a sign was neither gentle nor accommodating. Now, why was Jesus' chastisement of these individuals so strong? Why was it that Jesus came back with a statement, "This is an evil and adulterous generation because you are seeking for a sign"? That seems a bit harsh, right? I mean, we can't get away with that, right? I can't get away with somebody doubting about Jesus and then me standing there and saying, "You are an evil and adulterous generation." But Jesus did. And His chastisement of these individuals was very strong on this occasion. And I want to know why. Well, I believe here's the answer. Because they shouldn't have needed a sign. They didn't need one. The proof was already there if they wanted to accept it and digest it. You think about this. If the people of Nineveh repented at Jonah's preaching and the Queen of the South marveled at Solomon's wisdom, why would they not listen to a greater teacher? You see, Jesus had been there. And you know what? When you mentioned that today, Steve, about Pilate's wife, it got me to thinking about some things. She had sent that message to Pilate, "Hey, have nothing to do with this just man." I wonder why she sent that. I know it was because of the dream that she had had, and maybe she was told in the dream that he was just. But maybe, just maybe, somehow in her experiences living in that area, she had had an occasion to witness something Jesus did. Or experience the touch of the Master. I don't know. But what I do know is this. Jesus was a great teacher. And you've got all of these other people that are responding to the teaching and the preaching of other individuals that have lived here on this earth. And there is no one that's greater than Jesus. Jesus was teaching truth. They should have recognized Jesus' teachings were God approved. You've got scribes and you've got Pharisees here, folks. Here's what we understand is in John 6:63, the words that He spoke to you, they are spirit and they are life. And those scholars, those experts of the law, those scribes and the Pharisees, if they were truly experts and scholars, would have recognized His teachings. They wouldn't have needed any additional proof. It would have been good for them to have done what Peter says in the second epistle in chapter 1, verse 19, concerning the prophetic word. They should have paid attention. Isn't that what Peter says? He says, "We've not followed cleverly devised myths, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And we would all do well, and you would do well, when it comes to the prophetic word, to pay attention. Pay attention. Had these scholars truly been scholars and experts of the Old Testament that they claimed to be, then they should have recognized who Jesus was without His having to offer additional proof. That's why the chastisement was so strong. Oh, you claim to be a scribe. You claim to be a Pharisee. and you need additional proof for who I am? No wonder Jesus called them an evil and adulterous generation, because the Word of God should be sufficient proof for belief. And finally, the sign of Jonah represents the coming resurrection of the Messiah. We certainly do think about that on an occasion like this, on this particular Sunday, even though we strive to remember it during the week, and we certainly try to remember every first day of the week, the Lord's Day, the death of Jesus Christ, and after His dying, His coming forth from that grave. That's what Jesus was saying there. Jesus was only going to be in the earth 3 days and three nights, and then He would rise again, as Jonah had been in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. So He was prophesying to what was going to take place very soon. This was going to be the sign. Hopefully, some of these scribes and some of these Pharisees, after His resurrection, would recognize and remember what He said on this occasion. And maybe it would make a difference in their lives. We don't know if it did, but that's what He said was going to happen. He said, this is going to be the sign that I'm going to give this evil and adulterous generation. You know, David testifies to the resurrection of God's Holy One. You think about the passage in Psalm 16 and 10, I will not leave your soul in Hades, nor will his flesh see corruption. Here the psalmist is saying there's going to be a resurrection one of these days of the Holy One of God. I think about the words of the apostles. Turn over with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and I want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture there. We're going to begin in verse 19 of John 2, and we're going to read through verse 22 together. What sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it is taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But He was speaking about the temple of His body. When therefore He was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that He had said this, and they believed the Scripture and the Word that Jesus had spoken. We consider the words of the apostles, the recollection that they had of Jesus' statements, and the fact that He was going to be raised again. We praise God for this great event. We think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here, the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, as Paul is discussing that. We look at a couple of verses in particular. I want us to pay attention to verse 17, and then I want us to rejoice in verse 57. If we look at verse 17 to begin with, says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Now, that's one end of it. Now, think about that. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. But look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did that victory come? That victory came over death. The sting of death is gone now. Why? Because Jesus Christ has been resurrected from the dead. We look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we see the demonstration of the power of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 there, it says, being buried with Him in baptism, and likewise we were raised from the dead like His resurrection through faith in the powerful working of God. We're buried with Him in baptism, and we were raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God. Now, what took place there, and what is Paul saying in Colossians chapter 2? He's saying the same power that forgives you of your sins when you are buried with Him in baptism, that
power of God that's at work to take away and cleanse you of your sin is the same power that was at work when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Resurrection of Jesus, demonstration of the power of God, and the sign of Jonah represents the coming resurrection of the Messiah. So as Jesus here is dealing with these scribes and these Pharisees on this occasion, there's three lessons we can get from the state that he makes about the sign of Jonah. We can look at those things together. We can understand that the Bible is not a book of myths. We can recognize that the Word of God and that the Bible should be all the proof that we need for belief. And number three, we can understand that this was a sign that represented the coming resurrection of the Messiah. What a powerful story this is. Because these individuals did not believe in Jesus, he called them an evil and adulterous generation. Why? Because they should have recognized who he was. He was their sign from God. He was the sign. And they should have recognized it. But they didn't recognize who Jesus was. I hope today that we will. I hope that today you recognize who Jesus is. I hope that you recognize that if you will listen to his word, been through the Bible, which is a trustworthy document, that you will commit your life to him, that you will recognize that he did come to this earth, that he lived on this earth, that he lived a life of perfection, and he died on the cross and was raised after 3 days, as we have just discussed, and he did all of that for you. That's all the proof that we need. Talk about that sign of Jonah. Well, that resurrection was a sign for us. It's a sign that he is God. We need to submit to him. Today, won't you do what you need to do in order to be right with him? He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to save you. So if you're not a Christian, you can come forward today. You can reenact the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the water grave of baptism. You can have your sins washed away and you can walk out of here a new creature. If it's the case that you've not been living the way that you should, you've not appreciated what Jesus has done for you, and you haven't been living according to the Word of God, and you want to make some changes in your life, then we want to assist you with that. We're here to pray with you and pray for you. So if you need to respond to the invitation this morning, do so while together we stand and sing.